It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, we are teaching a series on the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Here in the book of Revelation, it is critical to understand interpretation. The first law of interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. We will cross-reference Scripture with Scripture. Also, in the book of Revelation, there is much symbology. Particularly in the book of Revelation, the symbolic language always has a literal meaning. The book of Revelation is the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ and His return. The book of Revelation teaches on the great tribulation. The book of Revelation will also teach on what is happening in heaven while the great tribulation is happening on earth. The book of Revelation culminates in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to reign and rule for 1,000 years, which is described as the great millennial reign before this world is removed and we live with Him in the New Jerusalem, which is heaven. All this will be articulated in depth as we teach in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, we see the word revelation. This is the word apokalypsis in the Greek, which means to unveil, to uncover. It's the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unveiling of the coming of Christ, the revealing of Christ as he comes to reign and rule on the earth. Here it says, which God gave unto him. This revelation came from God to Jesus Christ, to the angel, to John, written form to us. Verse 1 continues to say, the things which shortly come to pass. This word shortly is the Greek word tekos, where we get our word tachometer from. It means that these things that we are going to read in the book of Revelation will come with swiftness. It's going to come quickly. There's going to be a series of events throughout the book of Revelation that will come with speed. Verse 1 continues to say, "And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." The word signify is a long word for the word signs. We're going to see incredible amount of signs throughout the book of Revelation. And again, the main focus in symbology is that even though there's symbolic language throughout the scriptures, it has a literal meaning. Verse number 2. "Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." Here in verse 2, John is giving us a threefold authenticity. He is declaring that it's not just him bearing record, but he's bearing record of the word of God he's receiving and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. For they coincide, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of the things which John is seeing. John is not only going to be giving the words of God to record, but he's also giving a vision. He's being shown the patterns from which to write, both on earth and in heaven, coming by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, echoes the same principle of bearing witness of this particular vision. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. This is letting us know scripturally that John is not operating in a vacuum. John is not giving this revelation in and of himself. He is giving it by way of revelation from on high. This same particular message is given throughout the scriptures in the salutation of the scriptures. For example, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came unto Hosea. The word of the Lord came unto Joel. The word of the Lord came unto Amos. The scriptures are saying that it's not Ezekiel's word, not Joel's word, not Hosea's word, not Amos's word. It's coming from the Lord. When Moses received the Ten Commandments, it was not him that wrote the Ten Commandments. God wrote it with the finger of God, giving it to Moses that he may give it to the people. When we read the scriptures, the Bible says that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit in writing the scriptures. The scriptures are without error. The scriptures are complete. The scriptures are irrefutable. Verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Here, the book of Revelation is giving a blessing to those that read it and those that keep it. This is the only book in the Bible that gives a specific kind of blessing, for the book of Revelation is a blessing for those that read it, for those that keep it, for those that internalize it, for those that live it, for those that grab hold of it as the things that are to come. Verse 3 says, for the time is at hand. This word in the Greek, at hand, means imminent. The scriptures here are saying that the things that are written in the book of Revelation, that nothing is going to stop it. It is imminent. There will be the great tribulation as written in Revelation. There will be the rise and fall of the Antichrist. There will be the rise and fall of a global world economy with the mark of the beast. There will be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things written in the book of Revelation that we are going to study in detail is imminent. Nothing can stop it. It is coming at the time appointed. The blessing for those that read and hear and keep these words is echoed in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What Peter is saying and what John is saying in Revelation is that even more precious than gold is your hearing and keeping the words of this book. For silver and gold shall pass away, but the words of God shall be fulfilled. And those that trust in him to the end, great is your reward in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Blessed are they that hear and keep the words of this prophecy. Back to Revelation, verses 4 through 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who was a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here, in verse number 4, there's another witness from the divine Trinity that the words that are being spoken, the words that are being given to John, the vision that's given to John is coming from the divine Trinity. From him which is, and which was, and which is to come, speaks of God Almighty. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, speaks of the Holy Spirit. The number 7 in Scripture is the number for divine perfection. And seven spirits speaks symbolically to the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ, in verse number 5, so we see in verse number 4, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus in verse 5, all three giving witness to the words that be given to John. This same witness was given at Jesus' baptism when he was baptized by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. A voice came down from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's the witness of the Father. The Holy Spirit came down as a dove and hovered over Jesus Christ and fell on Jesus Christ. That is the witness of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ himself being baptized, bearing witness, all three of the Trinity in unison, bearing witness that he is the Son of God. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. The Holy Trinity in verses 4 and 5 are bearing witness to the truth and authenticity of the words that are being given to John. Verse 5 continues to say, "And the first begotten of the dead." First begotten speaks of his resurrection. First begotten because he was the first to be resurrected unto eternal life. There were others that were resurrected before him, as the widow's son in the Old Testament, as Lazarus, and as others in the New Testament. But Jesus Christ was the first begotten of the dead, for he rose from the dead unto eternal life. And now we that believe in him will be risen with him. For Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die." Verse 5 continues, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." He loves us and he washed us. He's cleansed us. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's forgiven the woman caught in the midst of adultery. He's forgiven the woman at the well. He's forgiven Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. He's forgiven Paul, the apostle, who was Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church because he loves them. And he loves us with an everlasting love. For the Bible says, "With love and kindness have I drawn thee." Oh, how he loves you and me. And he's washed us and forgiven us and cleansed us. Yes, he has washed us. For the Bible says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." There is nothing we have done that Jesus Christ has not died for, that Jesus Christ cannot forgive us for. "Come," the Bible says, "unto me, and in no wise I'll cast you out." If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse number 6, "And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In the Scriptures, there are only three that are declared both kings and priests. This was done because the royal line through David ruled as kings, and the tribe of Levi ruled as priests. The king and priests would never coincide. because the king always needed a prophet in his ear to ensure that decisions being made were done according to the word of God. Uzziah in the Old Testament, who attempted to be both king and priest, was made a leper. Yet this is how precious we are in Jesus Christ, that there are three that were made both king and priest. Melchizedek in the Old Testament was made both king and priest. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, and he is our high priest. And the church was made here both king and priest. What an honor it is to be king and priest. For the Bible says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" The scriptures also teach that the saints shall judge angels. God has something planned for his sons and daughters. God has something planned for his church. We have been adopted into the family of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. God has something planned for us for kingdom come. Peter echoes this same particular teaching in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." That means we are kings from the royal line, and we are priests from the priestly line. Only Melchizedek, Jesus, and the church can say that. "A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are special in Christ Jesus. He has made us somebody in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, "As unknown, yet well known." Angels and heaven know who we are. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For God has a high calling on his children. We are a royal priesthood, chosen generation, peculiar people. Verse number 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. This speaks to the chief theme of the book of Revelation, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the coming of the rapture, where he comes before the great tribulation to take his church home with him. This speaks of his return with the saints at the second coming of Christ, where he comes to reign and rule on the earth for 1,000 years. The rapture is when he comes halfway to the earth to remove the church. The second coming of Christ is at the end of the great tribulation, where he comes to reign and rule and establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. The rapture is before the great tribulation. The second coming of Christ is clearly stated in Jude verse 14, in the book of Zechariah chapter 14. Verse number 8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you can see, if you have a red letter version, Alpha and Omega, the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. This is confirmed in verse 17, where John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Throughout the scriptures, as here, you'll see Jesus Christ revealing himself in biblical language. Here, the biblical language being Alpha and Omega. The reason also for the biblical language in identifying Jesus Christ is that it can be conferred with Scripture. Other scriptures will echo the same biblical language, giving authenticity to the meaning of that particular scripture, remembering that scripture interprets scripture. This is speaking to Jesus Christ's deity. This is speaking to the eternity of Jesus Christ, the beginning and the ending. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Dropping down to verse 14 of the book of John chapter 1, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So John is echoing in the book of John and in the book of Revelation the eternity of Jesus Christ, that He was always here. He is the second person of the divine Trinity. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Verse number 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Here we see that John was exiled to a rocky volcanic island called Patmos. It was part of his banishment by the Roman Empire for what? For the word of God, for preaching the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It was a crime to preach any other deity that was king except Caesar. And as a result, he was banished onto the Isle of Patmos. Much like Paul was in prison for the defense of the gospel, for preaching the word of God. Verse number 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Here in verse 10, even though he was imprisoned, even though he was banished, he was still doing God's will. He was still in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was still ready to do God's will. How many of us have convenience every day in our everyday lives and we're not doing God's will? But here, in the inconvenience of being banished to the Isle of Patmos, John is still faithful, being ready in the Spirit to do God's will. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in the book of Revelation, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." You'll see these seven churches laid out and outlined in chapter 2 and chapter 3. This particular message and mission given to John to give to the seven churches in Revelation. These churches previously in the days of old called Asia Minor. Verse number 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Here we see that the voice was so intense that he turned to see a voice. Being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks. These seven golden candlesticks are interpreted in verse 20, where it says, "The seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches." Scripture says in the book of Matthew that we are the light of the world. Once again, biblical language, symbolic language that has a literal meaning. It is real and literal with symbolic language. Back to Revelation, verses 13 through 16. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Here we see increasing biblical language, symbolic language, but this symbolic language has a literal meaning as it reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He's in the midst of the churches. He's clothed down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. This speaks of priestly garments. The golden girdle speaks of his deity. His hair, being white like wool, speaks of his righteousness. His eyes were as a flame of fire, speaking of his presence, speaking of judgment. This flame of fire speaks of Jesus Christ being in the judgment mode. Yes, he's the Lamb of God. Yes, he's meek and lowly. But here he's being revealed to the seven churches in the judgment mode because he's preparing to tell them all to repent. And he is being revealed symbolically, not as the suffering servant, not as the meek and lowly lamb, but in the judgment mode. His feet like on the fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. Once again, speaking of judgment, because sacrifices were offered on the brazen altar. His voice as the sound of many waters, also echoing the judgment mode. In his right hand he had the seven stars. These seven stars are the seven angels or the pastors, the human messengers of the church. And out of his mouth the two-edged sword, speaking of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. His countenance, as the sun shineth in his strength, speaks of his glory. Verse number 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is falling down prostrate before him. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. The biblical language which Jesus Christ identifies himself as. Here we see that John is not told to get up. This is Jesus Christ speaking for himself, for if it was an angel, as it is shown later in the book of Revelation, when John falls down before an angel, the angel says, get up, worship God. Here, when John is not told to get up, that means it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, deity, before John. Verse number 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Here in verse 18, we see a threefold presentation of the ministry of Christ. It says, I am he that liveth. That means resurrection. And was dead. That means crucifixion. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Ascension. And have the keys of hell and death. Keys are symbolic of access and authority. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the great Creator. He has authority over all and all dominions. Verse number 19. Here we see an outline of the book of Revelation and the key to interpreting Revelation. It says, write the things which thou hast seen. That's chapter 1. And the things which are. That's chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches, and the things which shall be thereafter. That's post-rapture, when the churches are raptured up, chapters 4 through 22. So here the outline of the book of Revelation is given to us, chapter 1 being the past tense, the things which happened previously, chapters 2 and 3, the things which are, that's the churches that Jesus Christ is speaking to, the present tense, and then chapters 4 through 22, the things which shall come hereafter. Chapter 4 and on is post-rapture. The church is seen in chapters 2 and 3 on earth. After chapter 3, when we get to chapter 4 and beyond, the church is no longer mentioned on earth. That's speaking of the things thereafter. That's the key to interpreting the book of Revelation as we go through verse by verse. Verse number 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, The seven stars are the angels or the human messengers of the seven churches, the local pastors of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. In the book of Revelation, scripture by scripture, it is going to interpret the symbolic language. No need for individuals to begin to make up symbolic language, to make up interpretations of the symbolic language. The scriptures will interpret the scriptures as we go through the scriptures. This is Revelation chapter 1. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.